If you're a Facebook user, some of the company's actions may have rubbed you the wrong way over the past few months. From letting marketers track you around the web to experimenting on your news feeds without your consent, some users are feeling exasperated. But what if there was a way to get Facebook and other social media sites to agree to terms set by users?
Our next guest says instead of those social media sites presenting us with 30-plus pages of terms of service that we agree to, it's time to flip the equation around and develop a people's terms of service agreement that the sites would have to agree to. He says it would be a common reference point, a stamp of approval, kind of like a fair trade label for the web to govern the next photo sharing app or responsible social network.
Joining us now to talk about that idea is Woodrow Hartzog. He's an assistant professor at the Cumberland School of Law at Samford University. Woodrow, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
So what sorts of gains have we seen or sense that awareness is changing regarding the way people regard these current terms of service set by social media sites?
Well, the nice thing that we see is a dialogue happening when we feel like social media stepped over the boundaries, right? So we see a lot of news articles that come out and they say Facebook is monkeying with your feed, and you see a certain amount of outrage. Of course, perhaps ironically, a lot of that outrage is expressed on social media, but of course it only underscores the utility of social media, and that it's a very useful place for us to go and kind of air grievances among everyone else. And so with that, we actually see a sort of consensus forming about what some norms are around what intermediaries are allowed to do on social media with the information that we're actually providing to them.
Now, right now, if you want a Facebook account, you go online, you have to click agree to their terms of service, but generally nobody reads it because there's so much of it and you probably wouldn't understand it anyway. But would you say that it's fair to say that right now it's just giving these social media sites carte blanche to cherry pick what they want to do with your data and do it?
Well, it's pretty close to that. So we know several things about this. A, you're right, nobody reads them. And it actually makes sense to not read them, because if you decided, you know, that you were going to read all of the terms of use that you encountered in any one given day, you wouldn't do anything else but read terms of use online. So you would wake up at 6 in the morning and say, all right, I got a long day of reading social media terms of use ahead of me. And so it's not rational even to expect that you read them. But the unfortunate thing is that courts actually do enforce these agreements. So when you click, I agree, then courts have pretty uniformly said that that's a binding contract. And so what we know is that, of course, these agreements are written so that intermediaries, social media, can limit risk. They draft them in favor of the social media. There are very permissive terms that allow social media to do lots of different things. And so in the instance of the Facebook experimentation feed, one thing that we saw was that there was a permission to use information contributed by users for research purposes, right? And that's a very broadly worded statement. And of course, it's in the intermediary's interest to have very broadly worded statements like that and like other things, so that it has permission, because what these terms of use function as are consent agents, right? So this is a way of getting consent to do all kinds of different things. And that's really problematic, because, of course, it runs contrary not only to expectations that we had before we even signed up, but sometimes it actually runs contrary to our experience on the website. So, for example, when you have certain representations that are made either by the design of the website, so things like use your privacy settings to control who sees your information, and somebody else actually sees that information, then that actually probably runs contrary to your legitimate expectations of things like privacy.
Now, you've got an idea for people to try to reclaim some legal power when it comes to these terms of service. You're calling it the People's Terms of Service as a starting idea. How did that idea come about?
Well, so my co-authors and I were very frustrated a little while back about the inability for users to negotiate any kinds of favorable terms when signing up for these services. So these terms are often called contracts of adhesion, and they're adhesive because, of course, you can't negotiate them. So if to try calling up Facebook and saying, Facebook, I don't really like this one term that you had in here. Is there any way that we can negotiate this? That's kind of a laughable proposition. And, of course, Facebook would say, you either take the terms as we present them or you walk away. And so we began to get frustrated because the only option it felt like users had were to say yes to whatever these companies were willing to give you. And so one of the things that we wanted to explore was a way to fight back. And we quickly began to realize that one person in isolation is not going to make much of a difference, right? So many people said, well, if you don't like using Facebook so much, then why don't you just leave? And of course, that's one way to handle the problem. But one of the big problems that we know with social media is that nobody wants to go where nobody else is, right? So you want to stay where your friends are. And so unless all of your friends simultaneously got up and decided to move to the exact same other service, then it's difficult to leave. And of course, the other option is staying remotely offline. And there are options for that, too. But social media is actually useful, and many people get a great value out of it. So one of the things we wanted to try to find was some kind of way in which users could have a say in how their information was treated and how they were to be treated when using an online tool like social media. And so one of the things that we realized is that while consumers are not necessarily powerful individually, they're immensely powerful together. And if a movement could be formed where we actually all got together and demanded some kind of adherence to a common code, right? So some kind of reference point where we could say, do you adhere to something like the people's terms of service? And they don't have to be complicated. They can really just be a set of a five or six different very basic principles.
Right. And you say if you get this critical mass of people in the piece, you say maybe 3 million would be enough to get you going. What are some five or six starting points that people should look at to sort of start that people's term of service?
Sure. Well, there, of course, everyone has different preferences, which is, of course, the beauty of contracting. But we think that there are at least four or five things that most social media users could agree on. One of them is permanency, right? So if you promise me something, then you should probably keep it the same. So don't go changing the terms. One of the reasons that I think people get really frustrated and upset with social media companies is they seem to change the rules of the game midstream, right? So now you have to have certain kinds of leeway for social media to be able to change the rules. But when they do so unexpectedly and don't give you adequate notice, then that becomes really problematic. The second thing is transparency. How are these decisions being made? How does Facebook determine what is presented in our newsfeed? How do we know how our information is being used? So transparency is going to be a key component to provide meaningful notice to users. One of the things that, if you'll recall, I think it was last year or maybe a little more than a year ago, when Instagram changed their terms of service, a lot of people thought that their intellectual property rights were being infringed because there were some terms in there about the way that Instagram would use the photos and people within the photos for certain purposes. And so one of the things that we think companies should do is make a commitment to respect the value of an individual's name or likeness and the copyrights of their information. So don't take more licenses than you need to use personal information. One of the things that we think should be a bedrock protection is confidentiality. If you promise things like privacy settings and that no one else will see your information, then you really must stick to that promise. And that's something that users want, I think, more than anything. And so one of the biggest misconceptions about privacy and social media is that if you post something online, then surely you can't expect it to be private. And I don't think that's true at all. I think that there are lots of different ways that we can think about privacy. And one of them is confidentiality, that you can share information with some people but without sharing it to all people. And then the final thing, and one that I think is increasingly salient, increasingly more salient, even from when we proposed this a little while back, is data security. We think companies should promise reasonable data security measures because that's only becoming a bigger issue. And now that we've seen with some high-profile data breaches that we've had recently, data security isn't just for financial information anymore, that because we store some of our most intimate moments online, that it's also important for social media as well.
And in our last 30 seconds here, Woodrow, if people are interested in this, and even if they're pessimistic that these corporations will actually take action, what can people do to start the conversation?
People can, let their voices be heard to social media themselves, so you can write emails. There's a conversation always going. And B, use this kind of language among your friends, right? Say, if we don't like this, let's talk about this. Let's be vocal about our demands, because if we remain quiet, then nothing will change. And so just starting the conversation is the most important step at this point.
Well, Woodrow, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Woodrow Hartzog, an assistant professor at Cumberland School of Law at Samford University. We've been talking about his call for a people's terms of service for social media.